Speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I want to say that it is always a privilege and delight to be able to come and to be with you all here at St. Augustine's Lethbridge. Always a delight to come just for worship, but even more of a delight when we have confirmands preparing to renew their vows. Delight to join in the glorious singing, and of course today a delight to celebrate Ascension Day. Now, I want to say thank you to Steve for talking about Mother's Day, because it is Mother's Day, and it's an important thing. I assume everybody's going out afterwards somewhere or in the evening. Those of you who haven't thought of this for your moms, you should think quickly, get it done. But today, we're going to be talking about, more about Ascension Day. And so just if you're wondering, you know, this is the sermon time and there's two of us standing here, right? It's because there's going to be two complete sermons, one after the other. No, actually, we decided that we were going to try something completely different. I don't think either of us has ever done this before, but we decided that we would do some kind of a dialogue, homily, which we didn't rehearse. So we're excited. So this is sort of like a high wire act without nets. So, you know, it's at least there will be some, you know, a little bit of that titillation of, you know, will they fall? Will they fall? You can watch for it. But so Bishop Stephen Cottrell, James very ably welcomed him at the beginning and said, although it's East London, not North London, just to be clear, it's East London and Essex, they go together. I don't know if I need to say more. He said most of it all, I guess, except the part that I would add, which is that I know Stephen as a very capable teacher of the faith and a man of prayer, and I would say holiness. Yes.
Yeah. You'd be the first, but yeah.
It's good to be the first. All right. Yeah. And so today we're going to do this dialogue sermon, and I'm going to start off by having introduced, because he's the guest and we should always treat our guests well and let them go first, and say, Stephen, Ascension Day, what's that all about? Can you give us some basic theology on Ascension Day?
Well, Archbishop, I'm glad you asked me that.
Yeah.
Perhaps before saying that, I could just bring brief greetings from the Church of England. It's wonderful to be here with you today. I've been in your country now for the past 11, 12 days. I've had a wonderful time. They've been working me hard. I've spoken at the Provincial Synod. I've spoken at the Clergy Conference yesterday with the Prayer Fellowship in the diocese. And here we are this morning. But this is my first visit to a regular parish church on a Sunday morning in Canada. And whenever I go around the world, actually, going to a church on a Sunday morning is always the best thing, to meet with the people of God. So, and I want to say to you that you are very blessed with Greg as your bishop, but I think also very, very blessed with James and the team here, who I got to know this week in Banff. I found it very, very moving to be with your clergy, and to learn from them as well as sharing stuff. So anyway, Ascension Day. It's a funny old thing, Ascension Day, because I think that we think it's all about a departure. Jesus is leaving. There's a church in England where they have a chapel to the Ascension, and it's an old church in a little old chapel. And when you go into the chapel, you go, so why is this the chapel to the Ascension? It just looks like a regular chapel. Then you look up to the ceiling and there's a pair of feet disappearing disappearing into the ceiling. And I think it was some sort of medieval joke to put these feet up there. But I kind of think that's the picture we have in our head. Or perhaps we have that picture, if you're my age and above, you'll remember Star Trek. Whenever Captain Kirk got into a tricky spot, he would pull out his, whatever they called it, and he would say, remember the famous words, Beam me up, Scotty. And I think we have all those ideas in our head about the ascension. It's about Jesus disappearing. It's about Jesus' departure. But no, there's some words that Jesus says on the night before he died, John chapter 16, and I think it might be verse 5 or 6 or 7, I should have checked this, but anyway, I'll show you it's there, where Jesus says to to the disciples, "It is to your advantage that I go away. It is to your advantage that I go away, because unless I go away, I cannot send you the Spirit." And so the ascension is first of all about Jesus' arrival in heaven, not his departure from earth, his arrival in heaven. And what's he taking with us when he arrives in heaven? He's taking us. He carries with him into highest heaven our humanity, our flesh and blood. That's what the whole letter to the Hebrews is about. That Jesus enters into the Holy of Holies, which is the very right hand of the Father. He's not taking with him the blood of bulls or goats or sheep or oxen. He's taking with us our flesh and blood. So first of all, it's about Jesus' arrival in heaven. It's the completion of the sacrifice of the cross, taking with him our humanity. And then it's about the arrival of the Holy Spirit, which now means that Jesus is available everywhere to everyone. So that's what I think ascension is about. But of course, I may be wrong. I'm just a bishop and you're an archbishop.
Yeah. I can just correct you. No, just kidding.
So it'll be interesting to hear what it means to you. Particularly, I think this thing about the completion of the sacrifice, the coming of the Spirit, is all bound up in the Feast of the Ascension.
Indeed. And I would agree with everything that he said. I mean, I wouldn't dare to correct him in any kind of way. So, but I was just pondering as you were talking that one of the things the early church talked about in terms of quote the body of Christ. Now, if I say the body of Christ, what do people think? All of you, yes. And is there another thing, body of Christ? The bread, yes, yeah, okay. And let's go for the trifecta. The body of Christ, which is? We got the church, we got the sacrament, we got the risen, ascended, glorified. Yes, okay, so the early church talked about the body of Christ in three ways. It was the people of God, the body connected to the head, the body of Christ, the ascended body, the flesh and blood that is carried up to the throne of God, and of course the body of Christ which is received in the sacrament. And just this is, I guess, more of an extension of what you were saying, yeah. Is that that's carried up, but the image about the ascension, you know, is that Jesus, when he is bodily present to his disciples in that visible way, is in a particular locus. He's a particular place for his disciples to encounter. And so as he goes, those three kind of words for the body of Christ still hold, but it means that indeed Christ is always with us, closer to us now, if you can imagine, than when he walked the earth. Make sense? How could it be closer?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's interesting is that in his earthly ministry, obviously we won't see Jesus in our earthly lives like the disciples saw Jesus face to face, and we kind of think, we're kind of getting second best, but no, we're not. The ascension tells us that because Jesus is now ascended, has now taken our humanity to God, his presence is no longer limited by time and space.
He did that better than I did.
So just like it's not a departure, it's an arrival, it's also not an absence, it's a new presence. And it's the new presence of Jesus by the Spirit, closer than ever. So there's another bit of the Bible I love. You know, if you remember the story of Thomas, where, you know, Thomas isn't there when Jesus appears. The next week he is there, and Jesus says, you know, touch my hands and my side. Jesus then says to Thomas, Thomas, you're blessed because you've seen. And then he says, how much more blessed are those who have not seen in the same way that you're seeing, yet still believe? Who was Jesus talking about? Yeah, he's talking about us. The Bible says that you are more blessed than the Apostle Thomas, that you're more blessed than the Apostle Peter, because you haven't seen like they've seen, but you have believed. And Jesus is present with us in a way that is more real through the Spirit, because Jesus is so with us. Which kind of brings us, I think, to confirmation.
It does.
And, well, let me ask you. So, as we think about the Ascension, what particular relevance do you think that has for those people being confirmed today?
Well, if I can extend my little body of Christ thing that I was doing, yeah, in terms of the confirmation, it means that Jesus is always present to us, but because we're the body of Christ as well, and not just as a metaphor, right? Not just as a metaphor, but we are the body of Christ because we are united to Jesus by the power of the Spirit. That means that as the body of Christ, we are, in a way that we can't see or understand, united to the one who sits upon the throne in heaven. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. I want you to think about that for a moment. What a daring claim that we have from the gospel. Well, it's not a claim. A daring piece of truth, which is that we live our lives on this earth, and yes, I know, you know, this is what we what we experience, what we feel, but what the gospel says is that at the same time as we live our lives upon this earth, we also have a life that is connected to Jesus, and therefore is at the very right hand of God with Jesus. Now I want you to think about that for a minute, and what does that mean for us as we live out our lives? And so, of course, confirmation. I just want to say that I'm always impressed when I come here for confirmation, because confirmants here are always well prepared. Always well prepared. They know their stuff. Bishop Stephen was just commenting on the fact that when we were asking questions downstairs, you know, right in there with the catechism. That was... you don't see that very often anymore, but it's a blessing to see it. But they knew right off that confirmation is about the baptismal vows that were made for us by our godparents, doing them for ourselves. But what does that mean? It means that the faith that was confessed we now own for ourselves, and that faith that is confessed is the faith that we are in Jesus. That we are in Jesus, that we look to Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. As our Lord, meaning the one who guides and directs our actions, the one who gives us, you know, commandments, new commandments, that you should love one another. The one who is our Savior, the one who redeems us from death and from sin, the one who leads us into a new path of life. So we are united to that one through our baptism, and more than just united to that one is on the throne of God, in the throne of heaven. And so, think about all the stuff we go through in life. Well, I mean, okay, most of you got easy lives, right? You don't ever have to deal with struggles. There's never any problems. Nobody's smiling at this point. They're just sort of like, yeah, right, Well, hardship, you know. But what it means is that we have this amazing promise from God that not only is Jesus with us always, but that as we go through these troubles that seem sometimes to... Has anybody felt they're going something that's ruling their life? That was with an R, ruling. It could also be with a ooning, as in a ruining. Anybody been through something? Any? No? They have a good life here, yeah, in Lethbridge. It's really good. But if you've ever been through stuff where you just think, this is beyond me, I don't know how to do this, it's controlling, it's whatever, what we can be reminded of through the scriptures, through our prayer, what we're reminded of is that Jesus is with us in the midst of it, and that ultimately none of these things can rule us, because the Lord of the universe is as near to us as we are to ourselves, joined to our very humanity, dwelling with us, empowering us, strengthening us, walking with us. Even if we may not see it, well, we probably won't, and sometimes even not feel it, nonetheless, it is true, and God, in God's grace, is with us. But you may have some more things to add to that.
Well, I was only reflecting, listening to you speaking, that one of the ways perhaps I would see it is, you know, if you think of Jesus in his earthly ministry, when he was in Capernaum, he wasn't in Nazareth. When he was in Jerusalem, he wasn't in Bethlehem. He could only be in one place. Now, because of the ascension, because of the coming of the Spirit, Jesus, you know, I come from Chelmsford, which is right over the other side of the world in England. But Jesus is equally present to the people who are worshipping in Chelmsford today as he is to you worshipping in Lethbridge today. He's equally available, equally present by his Spirit. But I give with one hand, I take with the other. Because that's wonderful, reassuring good news. It's not like there's a big cake of God's presence and there's a lot of us and we're only going to get a little slice each. It's not like that. We all get the whole of Jesus' presence equally, wherever we are, whoever we are. That's the good news. Maybe the harder news is, how is Jesus going to be present to those who are not with us in church today? I don't think the whole of Lethbridge is here. I think there's probably some people who are not in church. How's he going to be present to them? It's going to be through you. Another way of thinking about confirmation is that confirmation is your commissioning. Your commissioning to be the person who will be the presence of Jesus. So when you go to school on Monday, you're called to be the presence of Jesus. When you go to work, in your home, in your community, you're called to be the presence of Jesus. Because Jesus is fully with you, yes, to bless you and to reassure you and comfort you, but also so that he might be known to everybody. And how's that going to work? Well, it's going to work through us, his church. And I suppose the other final thing is, I've searched the scriptures over this. That's Jesus' plan A, okay? Plan A, I'm going to be present through my church. There isn't a plan B, okay? I've searched the scriptures. There isn't a plan B. So that puts a big responsibility on us to be the people of God, not just on a Sunday, but to be the people of God on a Monday.
And if I can just add a little piece on the end there. And the words of confirmation are, strengthen, O Lord, this your servant with your Holy Spirit. Empower them for your service and sustain them all the days of their life. Strengthen them, O Lord, with your Holy Spirit. It can be really awesome. I mean, what you just said, absolutely. But it kind of sounds like a big thing, right? A big weight. You're to be the presence. We're to be the presence. All of us are to be the presence of Jesus. How can we possibly do that? Well, because God gives us the Holy Spirit, pours out the Spirit upon us, and empowers us to do what it is that we need to do. We get it wrong sometimes. Even bishops occasionally get it wrong. Just occasionally. Wednesdays and Thursdays, bad days, kind of midweek. But we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and that's what allows us to be able to carry out that very mission that God gives us. So, I think you had a story.
I've got a story.
He has a story.
I've got a story to finish with, and perhaps could I say again, it's been a real joy to be with you in your country, to be with you in this diocese, and thank you for your welcome. Please be assured of the blessings and good wishes of the people of the Diocese of Chelmsford. So here's a story. And it's a story, of course, set on Ascension Day. Jesus is arriving in heaven. It's a day, of course, of great rejoicing and celebration. The cherubim and the seraphim and the angels and the archangels have polished their golden harps and polished their golden trumpets. And as Jesus, the pearly gates have been thrown open, the red carpet has been laid out, they are giving it some welly. Do you say that in Canada? They're giving it some welly up in heaven. That means there's a real party going on. Jesus is returning. And Jesus comes up the red carpet through the pearly gates, past the cherubim and the seraphim and the angels and the archangels, to the throne of glory, and he notices out of the corner of his eye that there's one little angel in the third row back of the cherubim who isn't joining in the celebrations like everybody else. In fact, he's looking decidedly worried. So Jesus goes up to the little angel and says, you know, what's the problem? You know, don't you realize what's happened? You know, why aren't you joining in the celebrations? And the little angel says, oh, well, you know, I know what's happened. You know, I know it's great. You know, you've won the victory over sin and death. You've forgiven the sins of the world. You've thrown open the gate of glory. I mean, all that is fantastic. And yeah, I'm as pleased as everybody about what's happened. He says, I'm just a bit worried. Well, says Jesus, what are you worried about? He says, what I'm worried about is this. I understand all that you've done. He says, I just know that there's a lot of people down there on earth who don't know what you've done and don't know what it means. Who's going to tell them now that you're here? Who's going to let them know? And Jesus says, oh, well, you don't need to worry on that score. He says, I have left my disciples in charge. And the little angel looks even more worried. And says, your disciples, Peter, Thomas, James, that lot? And Jesus says, well, yes, I have entrusted to them my mission of love to the world. And the little angel says, well, what if they don't do it? What if they just keep it to themselves? What if they fail? And Jesus says, if they fail, then I will have failed. Amen.